Hello and welcome back to my FPL channel. I am FPL D-Unit and today you're here for Game Week 28 differentials to boost your rank. Yes, hopefully it's going to boost you inside the top 100,000, top million, top 10,000, top 1,000, top 100, top 10. Let's hope. But realistically, lots of teams are looking the same. I'm here to break it down. It is similar to Game Week 27, but there are a number of changes, particularly in the goalkeeper position, and a couple of forwards that potentially are becoming interesting because of the fact that we've had so many injuries to Cunha, injuries to Mateta and Isak. Lots of things to get involved. Please make sure you like a video, leave a like on the video. Please think about subscribing if you haven't already done so. We've just cracked the 700 yesterday and overnight, so I'm very happy about that. Thank you to everyone that subscribed overnight. And let's keep it going now. 800's the next target. Let's help me get there, and let's jump into it. So, Game Week 28 differential notes. Well, the thing here, and it's staring us right in the face now, and everyone's probably been sick of hearing about blank Game Week 29. Well, it's one game week away, and you have to be factoring this in. There is a reason why I'm not recommending any Crystal Palace players, why I'm not recommending any Newcastle United players, why I'm not recommending any Liverpool players, and why I'm not recommending Aston Villa players. Did I already say that? I can't even remember. But there's four teams you shouldn't be going for. Those are the four because they are blanking 100% in Game Week 29. You do not want to be buying them this week. There is no play. And look, I get it. Crystal Palace have an amazing fixture this week. Newcastle United have an amazing fixture this week. Liverpool even have an amazing fixture this week. But you can't be buying them. It's just too short-sighted. If you're going to buy them, the time to load up is ahead of Game Week 30, potentially on Wildcard. We'll talk about that in tomorrow's updated chip strategy video, so make sure you check that out. But essentially, your strategy needs to be about this, and you have to look at the fixture difficulty rating and work out where you need to be going, what players you need to be looking at. Now, the four goalkeepers we'll be covering today are all really low-owned. Saar from Wolves, Jorgensen, who's playing for Chelsea, got his first clean sheet, FYI. Areola, and the clean sheet as well, and Arrizabalaga, Kepa, not even going to bother pronouncing that. The other Chelsea goalkeeper that should be playing at Chelsea but is not, he's also making the goalkeeper list this week. Now, defenders, it's Hojbjerg, Aitnori, Timber, Mikalenko, Tawoski, Wan-Bissaka, Milinkovic, Williams, they're all really good options. Yes, I know that Nottingham Forest play Manchester City this week, which is why you won't see an in-depth review of any of their assets this week. But from next week onwards, the Nottingham Forest defense is back in business. It's probably worth buying them over a Liverpool, over an Arsenal defense because of the fact you save so much money and allows you to do other things in your team. In terms of the midfielders, it's Neto. He gets in here. He was amazing last game week against Southampton. Can he continue against Leicester? Fernandes, he is Manchester United. Let's not be kidding ourselves here. He's definitely worthy still of FPL talk and analysis. Semenyo, Minte needs to come into the discussion. 5 million for a midfielder that's cutting the mustard for Brighton over the last four or five game weeks. Really good value. Matoma, Damsgaard, Gibbs White. And Nkunku makes the list again, and he was amazing against Southampton. Exactly what I produced, what I predicted. I'm expecting him to go big again against Leicester. It's definitely part of my line of thinking in terms of him and potentially moving for him. You'll have to check out my transfer tips on Thursday for that one. Alanga and Bowen. And then in the forward line, well, the forward line has been decimated, so now it does become a little bit interesting. Lots of people have to make transfers here. Raul, Marmoush, Ferguson, Delap, Beto, Welbeck, Valensen, Strand Larsen, they're all differential forwards, each with their own perks, and I'm going to be covering four of them in a bit more detail for you later on in this video. So hopefully you've got something in here, hopefully there's a position, hopefully I've got it covered, and let's dive into the fixture difficulty rating. So what's it telling us for Game Week 28? Well, there's seven teams that have amazing fixture runs at the moment. They are Wolves, who, as you can see there at the very bottom, have a lot of green. Everton at home, Southampton away, West Ham United at home, Ipswich away, Tottenham at home, Man United away, Leicester at home. I mean, up until Game Week 34, Wolves just look incredible, right? Unfortunately, Cunha, who was looking amazing in the forward line, no longer an option until Game Week 31. So, at the very minimum, it could be even longer. We'll just have to wait and see. West Ham have a very nice run of fixtures, and I also think that even though they've got Newcastle this week, and that's a really good fixture for Newcastle, I think Newcastle are going to be worried about playing in the Carabao Cup final, and I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of their assets got rested in this game and West Ham actually won. quite comfortably. We'll talk about that in a little bit when I look at the assistant managers' table bonus this weekend. But it's definitely something I'm flagging. I thought that they would rest against Liverpool, and Isak definitely was rested. Maybe he actually was injured because he went off injured in the FA Cup. As you can see there, unfortunately, Liverpool have an amazing run of fixtures. However, they have that blank in game week 29. So you do have to be aware of that. Newcastle United, ditto, have amazing fixtures post the blank game week. Crystal Palace don't have as good fixtures post the game week, but they have Southampton directly afterwards. Everton look pretty good for the next couple of weeks as well until game week 30, and then you really need to abort every Everton asset on that you've got. Bournemouth have a really good run as well, as you can see there. No games on that list between now and 34 for Bournemouth really scare me as well for their assets, which I think is really good. So Aston Villa are a team we need to talk about, probably not until game week 30. They are highly likely to get another double game week in 33 and blank in 34. So that's something to keep in mind there, which will make their assets a bit more appealing post game week 29. But at the moment, they're not an option. So yeah, that's just essentially what I've analysed from the fixtures. Those are the teams you need to be really aware of. And West Ham Wolves feature heavily again in this video. So, but before we jump into the differentials, we're going to look at the assistant managers with table bonus for game week 28. And they have, there's a lot of home fixtures in here, and I don't know if I've got 1, 2, and 3 correct. 4, 5, and 6, I'm pretty sure I've got nailed. Like, Juric is getting nothing against Liverpool away. I mean, if he did, it'd be the biggest human shock that we've seen in the Premier League this season. Ruud van Nistelrooy against Chelsea. Look, Leicester are just not very good football. In fact, all these three teams are not very good football clubs. So they're going to show up on the assistant managers with table bonus almost every single week, unless they're playing each other. I can't recommend Juric. I can't recommend van Nistelrooy. McKenna's got more of a chance against Crystal Palace, especially if Mateta misses this game. But again, it's away from home for Ipswich. We saw that they lost against 10 men Man United. There's nothing that instills any confidence in me that Ipswich are going to get anything from that game. So it's an easy 4, 5, and 6. 1, 2, and 3, significantly more harder to predict. Now, Big Ange is playing at home. Tottenham are starting to show some signs of life, but they've got the Europa League on Thursday night. They obviously play this game on the Sunday. And Bournemouth are a very good football club. And I feel like Bournemouth with a week's rest are probably going to go to Tottenham and do a job. So I'm not sure if I've got Ange right in position number one at the moment. It might actually be that Graham Potter has the best chance of table bonus this week with West Ham. And I personally believe that he could get the job done at home. I don't know. Someone's telling me that Graham Potter should probably be number one and Ruben Amorim number two and Ange number three. And I've got no idea why I think Ruben Amorim should be at number two. I think it's because of the fact that Arsenal just can't score goals. I just feel like the only reason why I've got Amorim at number three instead of higher up is because they have a clown in the goalkeeping department in Andre Onana, and you can guarantee that somehow that buffoon will give away a goal. Like, he will literally give away a goal. I don't know what he'll do, but he'll do something, and he'll end up giving away a goal, and then Man United was struggling. Man United just don't score many goals, but realistically, Arsenal aren't scoring many goals either, so maybe I should actually have Ruben Amorim higher up. Maybe there's a strong chance of him actually getting a nil-all draw or a one-all draw. I can't see Arsenal winning that game. But then again, I can't really see Man United winning it either. So that's how I see it. The top six, maybe Graham Potter should be number one. Maybe Ruben Amorim should be number two and Ange number three. The 4, 5, and 6, though, don't even bother thinking about it if you're on the assistant manager chip. You don't want to be going there. You don't want the pain from getting a zero-pointer. So onto the goalkeeper differentials for game week 28. And look, most of these keepers haven't played much football this season. Like, Jorgensen's only just come into the team for Sanchez. So we're basing this off just the fact he's got Leicester at home this week. And he has a fixture in 29. Then he's got Tottenham in 30. And then potentially a wild card, get rid of him. Maybe it's a case of you're a bit like me and you have Alisson Becker in goal and Fabianski. And you don't want to sell Alisson Becker because the amazing fixture run that Liverpool has post game week 29. And you just want to move Fabianski for a low costing goalkeeper that will actually play in 29. And that's why I've gone for these, because I feel like a lot of people are going to be in my situation and will have to make a goalkeeper transfer. Realistically, Jorgensen's really good for this week. In 29, I don't think he's overly fabulous. And in 30, you just don't know what's going to happen in the Tottenham-Chelsea game. There's always goals in that game, so I'm not 100% sure. But he is cheap, $4.2 million. He's now got the number one spot at Chelsea for who knows how long. And he kept one clean sheet against Southampton in the last game. So I would back him in for a clean sheet this week against Leicester. 0.9% ownership. I don't think it's going to be going up any higher. Kepa. Now, Kepa's probably the best keeper on this list by a significant distance. He's got 4 bonus points for the season. He generally averages 1.3 to expected goals conceded per 90, which is the best out of all these four goalkeepers by some distance. He's kept 5 clean sheets, but that's because he's played a lot more football. But he does cost $4.6 million. And when I look at this week, it's not an amazing run of fixtures. Tottenham away, you would expect potentially Bournemouth to concede. Brentford at home, again, Brentford are a very good attacking team. But Ipswich at home in 30 does look really good. That screams clean sheet to me. So it's one of them weird ones when you compare them to the other two. So if we have a look at Areola, 4.1% ownership, 1.55 expected goals conceded per 90. Obviously, that encounters a lot of the goals that he conceded at the very first part of the season when he was starting in goal before he got taken out for Fabianski, before he got put back in where it's actually gone down. Clean sheets, he's actually got 3 of them this season. Again, he only costs $4.2 million. So if you're moving to Fabianski, it's very easy to move him for him. And I actually think there's a strong likelihood he could get 3 clean sheets in a row, plus the one he's already just had. Newcastle United at home. If Isak doesn't play and they're resting players, Anthony Gordon's obviously going to be missing as well. That lowers Newcastle's chances of scoring quite significantly. I feel like West Ham are improving under Graham Potter. There's a definite chance of a clean sheet there. And then obviously Jose Sarr, 2.4% ownership. But all you have to see there is the sea of green at the bottom. Everton at home this week. Southampton away next week in 29 looks fantastic. West Ham United at home in game week 30. Again, he's kept 5 clean sheets this season. He does cost 0.1 million more, which might come into it. But again, he's got the third best in terms of expected clean sheet data there. 1.53 expected goals per 90 conceded. And then 3 bonus points. So look, I'm not sold on any one of these four, but they're four keepers that potentially, if you do have the problem I have, these are one of the four I would be moving to, particularly over the next couple of weeks. So onto the defender differentials this week. These are exactly the same as game week 27. And that is because of the fact I still think that these are the best defender differentials in the game at the moment, under 10% ownership. Hoyson's still really good value, still got that goal threat, 0.13 expected goals involvement per 90. That's involvement, not just goals. 1.5 expected conceded goals per 90, which isn't fabulous. It's actually gone up over the last week. He's obviously scored 2 goals, kept 5 clean sheets. He does now cost $4.5 million as well. He is a bit more expensive. You lost out on value if you didn't get him when he was 4.3, whatever. That was the best time to get him. But he's still a worthy option, particularly if you need to move out like a Lewis Hall, if you need to move out of Trent Alexander-Arnold or other defenders that are going blank next week. He's still probably a really good option. 8 Nouri and 1 Bissaka are probably my two favourites for the next couple of weeks. Now, this time around, I've actually got the fixtures the right way. So as you can see there, Wolves, 8 Nouri's up to 6.1% ownership. So that's gone up over 1% since I did this video in game week 27. 0.14 expected goal involvement per 90 at 0.07, 0.07 assist and goals combined 0.14. Wolves have looked better defensively under Pereira. He's obviously scored 3 goals, 5 assists, 4 clean sheets. He does cost a bit more though. So $4.7 million. Not ideal, but he's still pretty damn cheap. When you compare that to Wan-Bissaka, Wan-Bissaka's ownership is 5.4. I would argue that 8 Nouri's got the better fixtures over the next 3 weeks compared to Wan-Bissaka. But as I just said, I expect Newcastle to rotate heavily in preparation for that Carabao Cup final. They don't want any more injuries. They can't afford any more injuries. So I feel like this week it might actually be a green fixture against Newcastle. I just got a feeling. I don't know why, just got a feeling. Everton away, Wolves away. 0.12 expected goal involvement per 90 as well. It's really good for Wan-Bissaka. Where was that at Man United? Who knows? Maybe he would never have been moved. 1.69 expected goals conceded per 90, though, is definitely the highest on this list by a fair bit. But he has got 2 goals, 3 assists, 5 clean sheets of the season, and he's also the cheapest defender of this list. $4.4 million. It's dirt cheap. It does allow you to free up funds, particularly if you're moving Trent out of your teams. That would allow you almost $3 million to spend somewhere else, which is quite a lot of money when you think about it in that term. And then obviously Tarkowski. Now, a lot of people say, oh, Mikulenko should be here instead. I still think Tarkowski is the better defender. I think Mikulenko is finally due an assist. I think that was his first recorded FPL legitimate assist, like that was an actual assist, not a shot rebound or whatever, or a shot saved. So I just think that he carries way less threat in terms of expected goal involvement per 90. So, like, obviously, Tarkowski is up to 0.11. He does have the best defensive data of this list, with expected goals conceded of only 1.25 per 90, which is elite defense considering what where Everton are on the table. One goal, one assist, 9 clean sheets of the season as well. At 4.9 million, he has gone up in price since game week 27, which means that it does cost a bit more to bring him in. But I still really like the next two fixtures. The next two fixtures scream like Everton could keep clean sheets to me. And I actually think that the Everton-West Ham game in game week 29 could be a nil-all shutout. So look, I really rate all these four defenders. You can't go wrong with any of them. I'm still surprised that they're shockingly low-owned, but it is what it is. So onto the midfielders. There's only one change to this list this week. Now, Bruno Fernandes is now up to 9.5% ownership, and I expect that to continue to rise. I don't think he'll make the video next week for blank game week 29, because I expect that number to go over 10%. He does have the best data on this list in terms of players that have played for a long period of time. And Nkunku obviously has the best, but he's only played a small handful of games, so his data is still a little bit skewed. But in terms of Bruno Fernandes, 0.33 expected goals. We saw him score again in the FA Cup. This dude is literally one Man United at the moment. Without him, we would definitely be getting relegated. I'm pretty confident on that at this point in time. 0.21 expected assists per 90. He's now got 6 goals and 9 assists. He obviously got 2 assists in that last game against Ipswich in the league. He's still only 8.3 million. It's a weird price point, but I just think he's quality. Like, he literally, I would expect him to deliver. If they're going to get anything against Arsenal, Bruno's going to return. And if they're going to get anything against Leicester, which I expect them to do, I think he'll also return there. So look, he's really good. Wild card on 30, 31. You can see him through to 31 quite easily. Nottingham Forest away is not a bad fixture either. I think he'll be all right there. I just think he's a great pick. Gibbs White makes a list. Now, Matoma's left, and Minte can consider himself exceptionally unlucky not to be in here. I just think that Nottingham Forest's run of fixtures is better than Brighton's for the foreseeable future, which is why I think Gibbs White is a far better pick. 5.2% ownership. Like, barely anyone owns this bloke, and he's at such a cheap price. 6.5 million. Obviously, he's gone up since he was like 6.3, 6.4. His expected goal involvement data is not the best, though. So 0.1 expected goals per 90, 0.2 expected assists per 90. Obviously, no longer on penalties because Chris the Woody Woodpecker is on them. 5 goals but 8 assists, though, for that price. He's literally got 2 less attacking returns than Bruno Fernandes, and he costs 1.8 million less. That's all you need to know there. That's elite. That's actually elite. And it's one less than Jared Bowen, who we're going to talk about now. And look, they've got Ipswich away in 29, which screams value. It screams returns to me. I think that Morgan Gibbs-White is going to be brilliant there. And I just think that people need to start giving him a bit more respect and a bit more attention moving towards the tail end of the season. And at the moment, Nottingham Forest are on track to potentially double in game week 33 and then blank in 34. So he could be a really good option around that time as well. And if you've only got 2 Forest assets like I have, I've got Milenkovic and Wood. Gibbs White could be the third one that you're after in the midfield. In terms of Jared Bowen, he was great. He got an assist after backing up his goal. He's just been in form since he's come back from injury. He's only blanked in one of those 4 games that he's been back. 0.27 expected goals per 90, 0.22 expected assists per 90. 7 goals and 7 assists now for the season. Brilliant stuff. 7.4 million. He has risen in price since game week 27 when I did this video. But again, the fixtures are brilliant for West Ham, and I do expect them to definitely cause problems for Newcastle this weekend. I wouldn't be surprised if he returns again. He's just a great option. And then if you're after a 3-week play, because Jackson obviously is still injured, which is why Nkunku makes a list. I thought he was brilliant against Southampton. He got a goal. He got an assist. He's now got 3 goals, 2 assists for the season. 5.7 million. Still hasn't gone up in price at all. It's only gone up 0.1% ownership since game week 27. Tells you all you need to know that people have not jumped on. Probably because Chelsea have been bad, but I think they'll do Leicester. And then potentially that plays him into form. And Nkunku hopefully continues his form and will be sweet. He's 0.61 expected goals per 90, 0.11 expected assists per 90. His data's actually gone up post that Southampton game. So maybe he is worthy of a consideration in your teams moving forward. And then lastly, onto the forward differentials now. This is where it gets thrown up. There's been so much carnage post the FA Cup in the forward lines. This is where potentially the four players that are lowish owned. Lots of people are moving to Wissa. I just, like, Wissa's ownership's about 14%. I have him in my team, and I'm glad that I had him. And I'm glad he scored, because originally I was going to sell him for Cunha 2 weeks ago if he didn't score. Thankfully, he scored in the last two. Cunha obviously blanked, then he's got himself sent off in the FA Cup. So it's a bullet I've definitely luckily dodged. I feel very kissed in terms of dodging that. But these are probably your four best options in terms of going for a little bit something different over the next few weeks prior to wildcarding. Now, I'm going to start with Marmoush. He's only returned in one of five games that he's played. He's played on average about 70 minutes in each of these games. His data's not amazing. So 0.26 expected goals per 90, 0.17 expected assists per 90. 3 goals, 0 assists. Obviously, all came in that one game against Newcastle. And he's now risen from 7 million and he's now up to 7.2. I don't think Nottingham Forest away is a great fixture for Man City. Brighton at home and Leicester at home following, though, are fantastic fixtures. And lots of people talking about Erling Haaland bringing him in for game week 29 and captaining him. Marmoush has definitely been starting under Pep. The only concern I've got, they're not in Europe. Pep roulette is a real thing. And maybe he settles more because of the fact that they haven't got the other competitions. I'm just concerned. Foden and Marmoush don't seem to mix too well together. It's either one or the other. I still think Phil Foden's a better player than Marmoush. That's just my personal opinion. But at the moment, Pep seems to be playing Marmoush in all the Premier League games. Foden was obviously benched in the last one, hasn't returned in the last four. 8.9% ownership, definitely something to keep in mind. Strand Larsen is probably my favourite pick in this list. Now that Cunha is 100% confirmed out, till game week 31 at the earliest, prior to the Premier League announcing any extended ban or whatever, he's got 7 goals, 2 assists of the season. He is, well, the second cheapest on this list at 5.2 million, only 1.1% owned. 0.29 expected goals per 90, 0.03 expected assists per 90. His finishing is not the best. I've watched him miss some good chances. However, he's almost a lock now to be playing 90 minutes with Cunha out of that team. So part of me is like going, if you need to chase a third forward, you don't want to be bringing in a Haaland or whatever, and you just want to have someone that you know has got great fixtures and you're playing the fixtures, Strand Larsen is probably your man. That's what I would say on that. I think he's really good value here. I can't see any reason why you wouldn't go for him. Vanlinson obviously came back. He started in the FA Cup. Dango, or Atara, however you want to say his name, he's dropped to the bench. So did Kluivert. Now, I think Vanlinson, we will see start more and more games as he builds up his fitness. He's definitely one that once he's starting, his data is really good. 0.42 expected goals per 90, 0.08 expected assists per 90. He's got 5 goals, 4 assists for the season. If Kluivert's not in the field, Vanlinson potentially is taking penalties as well, which also increases his allure. 5.6 million. He's dirt cheap as well. And then if we have a look at Beto, and Beto's been amazing. I don't know how he didn't return against Brentford. He had 0.62 expected goals and something else on his assists. And his data for the season now, 0.54 expected goals per 90, 0.02 expected assists per 90. He's got 6 goals, obviously, in this short run of form. He looks like a boss playing up front for Everton. Every time Everton feel like I see a goal goes in on the goal rush or whatever, I feel like it's going to be Beto involved. That's how good he's playing. I still can't believe he hasn't been playing all season. Maybe that was Sean Dyche's mistake, not playing him and playing Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who just couldn't finish a biscuit. But 5 million, he's dirt cheap. It's a throwaway. You just bring him in, hope for the best. Third forward, he's a great enabler as well. I just think he's great value here. And look, he's been delivering the results. 5.8% ownership as well is fantastic stuff. So to recap, hopefully there are some options there for everyone in terms of what defenders you're moving out. So look, obviously lots of people now looking at like your Munoz, your Hall, your Trent, trying to field a team for game week 29. If you aren't free hitting, all these players are going to be so fundamental that I pointed out today. And I think all of them are worthy of a chance in your team. Potentially, if you're using the strategies I'm going to be going through tomorrow in my updated chip strategy video, and that is wildcarding in 31. Like, the next three fixtures are huge. Like, if you can just get yourself through to that, you can reassess, target the doubles, because by the time game week 31 deadline comes around, we should know who's going to be doubling for the rest of the season, who's going to be blanking. In fact, we'll definitely know who's blanking. But and hopefully we'll have the Premier League confirmed when those doubles are going to be, which will mean wildcarding around that time will be absolutely rife. I just think that those options, hopefully I've provided some insight. Remember, if you have enjoyed today's video, please smash a like and please subscribe to the channel as well. And I'll be back tomorrow with my updated chip strategy, followed by transfer tips on Thursday and my team selection on Friday. Thanks for watching. That's been the D Unit.